Hello and welcome to the Helix Reviews podcast. My name is David Arrington, bringing you reviews from a Christian geek worldview, and today on the show, I'm going to be talking about the Christian movies of 2023. The reason that I'm doing this episode is because there was a shockingly high number of quality Christian films that came out this year. I mean, basically every year there'll be movies, there'll be Christian movies that come out, and I'll watch them because I want to support Christian movies. I want Christian movies to get better, and the way that they get better is going to have to be with some money and stuff. And so, you know, I put some support behind them by, you know, going to see them and whatnot. But that said, you know, most of the time when I see the Christian movies, I think, okay, this is, you know, it has a good message. It's got the heart behind it. It's got the message behind it. It's got, you know, some of the thematic stuff that, you know, maybe I would want to see in a movie, but the package as a whole is not very well done. It's, you know, the movie's not well made, or it's really cheesy, or any of those type of things. You know, it's a common thing with Christian movies that, you know, you look and you go, Christian movies are cheesy and not very well made and stuff. And it's just kind of a somewhat commonly accepted thing nowadays with Christian movies. You know, even amongst, you know, Christians, and especially amongst non-Christians, they look at them and just go, and just kind of push all that stuff off to the side out of either disinterest or just being like, man, it's just not well made. And unfortunately, a lot of Christian movies live up to that reputation. And so, you know, when it comes down to it, I'll watch some of them and I'll you know, try to support some of them or whatnot, but I don't have a huge affinity for a lot of the Christian movies that come out. And the ones that do come out, I don't usually talk on the show about them because I don't want to just badmouth Christian movies. You know, Christian movies, they're coming out, they're trying to do something good, and they're cheap and cheesy and stuff. And it's like, okay, I don't want to just badmouth the Christian, you know, every Christian movie that I see. So typically I just don't talk about them. And every once in a while I'll talk about a Christian movie if one's good or something, but I don't want to just talk bad about every Christian movie that comes out. You know, I would love for there to be so many Christian movies coming out that I could review a Christian movie and go like, oh yeah, this one's not that great because there's just so many that I feel like I'm not just dissing the entirety of Christian movie making as a whole, you know? So my typical modus operandi with Christian movies is just to not really talk much about them at all when it comes to the show. That said, this year, man, I think a few things, the support behind them has, you know, ultimately paid off, because Christian movies, despite being not the greatest a lot of times, there is a definite market for Christian movies. They are a money-making thing, which is the reason why, like, Sony Pictures is behind some of the, you know, is behind, what's the studios? They have, like, this Christian studio thing that they have where they produce Christian movies, because they are a, you know, somewhat reliable money-making kind of thing. So I think the fact that Christian movies are making money, and some things like The Chosen and some things like that have really pushed some Christian movies and stuff to be better and stuff. And I think that's really starting. We're really starting to see that this year with some of these movies where I'm like, I'm watching them and I'm going, these are good movies. These aren't even just, you know, good for a Christian movie or whatever. These are just good movies, you know? And so I've talked about some of them on the show. I don't think I've talked about all these ones that I'm going to talk about here on the show previously, but like, it's the kind of thing where it's like, I don't think a Christian movie has ever been on my favorite movies of the year list when the end of the year comes, but I am certain that one of these movies is going to be on my end of the year list. I haven't completed that list yet, but I'm certain that one of them is going to be on here, and potentially another one could sneak on and near the bottom as well. But there is definitely at least one of them that's going to be on here, because there is a really good, solid crop of Christian movies that came out this year. So I'm just going to run through the ones I've seen, give my thoughts on them, and we'll go from there. So let's start off with Jesus Revolution.
Hey, Square.
I am not a square.
Think we should invite Greg this weekend.
What's this weekend?
These people are hippies, rebels against old-fashioned authority.
I think these kids need help.
What they need is a bath.
You're passing judgment on people you know nothing about. Maybe that's why your church is so empty.
When God walks in here, brings me a hippie, I'll ask him what it's all about, because I do not understand.
Jesus Revolution, the true story of a national spiritual awakening in the early 1700s and era 1970s, and its origins within a community of teenage hippies in Southern California. So this is the story of Greg Lowry and Lonnie Frisbee, kind of the birth of that revival. Now, this is probably the most typical of the Christian movies that came out this year. And by that, I mean, like, it's like the most what you would expect out of a Christian movie. It's about a spiritual awakening. It's about, the preaching of the gospel and there being a revival in the land. And the main character coming to know Christ. And, you know, it's about all these, you know, things that you would expect to see in a Christian movie. That said, I think it's more well made than most Christian movies. And I think probably maybe the biggest thing that sparked my interest there is that they weren't afraid to push some buttons a little bit. Like, they weren't afraid to include some stuff that, like, Christian movies wouldn't have probably in the past, you know? Nothing too crazy or explicit or anything, but you see drugs, drug overdoses, and stuff like that in here. Stuff that I think a lot of Christian movies prior to this year and stuff kind of shy away from. But I think you need this side of stuff in here. You know, I think this movie, it presents the darkness of the world in a more real way so that, you know, when the conversion scenes and stuff like that happen, they feel more earned and less, you know, cheesy like a lot of Christian movies kind of end up being. And I really think that's kind of one of the things that makes this Christian movie work and steers it away from being the typical cheesy conversion, you know, movie where it's like, oh, they're becoming a Christian now. And it's, sometimes it's like, okay, you know, maybe it didn't earn it or whatnot. But no, this movie did the work to earn it, you know. And I don't know a whole lot about this revival. Like, I know some stuff, but it was interesting from like a historical perspective to me as well, just kind of learning some of this stuff that I didn't know a whole lot about. Now, it's not my favorite kind of movie, and by that, I mean it's like a pretty straightforward, you know, fairly happy drama, you know, ultimately. And you know, I guess I like my dramas mixed with action and science fiction and all that kind of cool stuff, you know, something to spice it up, you know. So this isn't the kind of movie that I would probably rewatch really, or even maybe normally talk about it on the show, but the fact that this is like a good, solid Christian movie that's like well made, and if you are the fan of, you know, maybe that somewhat typical drama, or if you are a fan of Christian movies, then this is definitely one to check out, because it's like Christian movies but done better than most of them, I would say. Next, let's talk about His Only Son.
Abraham.
Lord.
Take now your son and go to the land of Moriah, and there offer him.
The Lord came to me last night. I must go to Moriah and make a sacrifice to him there. Isaac and I will go alone.
Why, Isaac?
Because the Lord commands it.
Make sure no harm comes to our son.
His Only Son. After being called on by the Lord, Abraham's faith is tested on his 3-day journey to sacrifice his son, Isaac. I loved this movie, man. This is a great retelling of the biblical story of Abraham and Isaac going to the mountain to sacrifice Isaac. And I love the conflict in this story of, you know, Abraham, he has to sacrifice his son, and that he's so dedicated to God that he's like, yeah, I'm gonna do this. But then it's such a a distressing, awful thing that he's like, oh my goodness, we're like, ugh. And it's this great kind of character piece around Abraham with that, just on this, mostly taking place on this 3-day journey from, you know, A to B there. And really well done. I love the way that they tie this story into Jesus and into the New Testament. I mean, it's the kind of thing where, yes, the Isaac story, Abraham Isaac story here, is a parallel story kind of to the Jesus story, but you could easily tell this story and not directly draw those comparisons. But they do very kind of directly draw some of those comparisons, even to the point of like quoting some stuff from the New Testament and stuff, and just kind of directly drawing some things together. That they like kind of knitting the story of Abraham and Isaac here into the story of Jesus a little bit in such a cool way. Like, I was not expecting them to go like they did with that, and it's so well done. The guy that plays Abraham is good. This is the kind of role that, like, this could have been like an Oscar-worthy performance from him, you know, because it's like this is the kind of movie that is like could call for an Oscar worthy performance, you know, if you have an actor that's ready to live up to that, you know, because this is just, you know, it's a really kind of low-key drama about a father traveling with his son, whom God, you know, told him to sacrifice on an altar, and he loves his son, but his duty to God is higher. So, you know, he strikes out on this quest with just this great emotional turmoil in his soul, you know, and he's just like, oh man, it's like that could have been like an Oscar worthy kind of performance. It's the kind of role that could have been that, but he's not, he's good. He's good in the role, and he works, and he's good. But this is like, I don't fault movies for not having an Oscar worthy performance, because most movies don't, you know, and most actors can't do that. So it's like, that's okay. But this is the kind of role where it's like that could have been the case with this role. That said, he's good. I think all the acting, generally speaking, in this movie is good. The characters are good. I really like it. The writing, I think, is really good. It is a little bit lower budget of a movie, and you can tell that in some of the production of the movie, but really it is incredible, I think, what they pulled off with such a minuscule budget. Because I think the budget, if I remember right, the budget was like $100,000 or something like that, which is just insanely small when you consider small budget movies are a few million dollars, you know. So it's like, man, it's an insanely small budget, and what they pulled off with that, I think, is absolutely phenomenal. The fact that Angel Studios is moving forward with this same director to move on to, I think, a Jacob story, I think, is the one he's doing next. Like, awesome, dude. I cannot wait to see what this guy does next. And the fact that he has some backing behind him now is very exciting. All right, let's talk about the next Christian movie, Nefarious.
Hello?
Execution scheduled for 11 p.m. But he's trying to convince us he's gone insane.
And therefore incapable of being executed.
I need you to prove he's faking it.
Edward?
I'm gonna ask you some questions.
I'm not Edward. I'm a demon.
Demons aren't really a thing.
Nefarious. On the day of his scheduled execution, a convicted serial killer gets a psychiatric evaluation during which he claims that he is a demon and further claims that before the time is over, the psychiatrist will commit 3 murders of his own. This movie is one of the best movies of the year, in my opinion. This movie is absolutely phenomenal. It is a nail-biting thriller / horror kind of movie about, you know, this psychologist confronting this demon-possessed man. And so you got this very worldly, like, atheist type of guy confronting somebody that's possessed by a demon. And it's the kind of movie where I love this kind of movie. your mileage may vary, but it's the kind of movie where it all takes place in one room and it's basically these two people talking the entire time, and it is absolutely riveting, even though, again, it's just a conversation between two people, but the amount of like action that takes place in this conversation is phenomenal. Those two trying to outmaneuver each other, outsmart each other, and out, you know, kind of outdo each other. It's just absolutely phenomenal. So well done. And then it tackles the spirit of the age head on, talking about topics like abortion, assisted suicide, sex trafficking, love is love type stuff, you know, and it does it all in a way that fits in the story too. It is all very kind of naturally placed in here. It doesn't feel forced that they shoved so many kind of different themes and so many different kind of modern evil stuff kind of going on in here. The fact that it all is in here, it all fits in here, and it's all just in a movie that is absolutely riveting, man. It's so well done. It's like, man, I want to see more Christian movies like this. I want to see more movies like this. This is one of my favorite Christian movies for sure. Like this, you know, I don't know. I'd have to look at the list of the Christian movies to see if this would end up being number one or not. But this is, to me, right near the top of my list of my favorite Christian movies, because this movie is absolutely phenomenal. I've seen it several times now. And just recently here, I watched it with the commentary, and just fantastic, man. I absolutely love Nefarious. If you have not seen this, you like the thrillers like this, if you like horror, you know, then this is one to check out. It's not like full-on horror. It's not horror in the way that, you know, The Conjuring is or something like that, but it definitely has the horror elements, and it's more of the thriller, thrilling, nail-biting kind of movie that's just so well done, man. I love it. Now let's talk about Sound of Freedom.
I don't think I can do this job, Tim. As soon as I lay down, all I see are those kids' faces. How long you been doing this?
12 years.
How do you do it?
It is the fastest growing international crime network that the world has ever seen. It has already passed the illegal arms trade, and soon it's gonna pass the drug trade.
Señor Timoteo, tú rescata niños, ¿verdad?
Sound of Freedom. The incredible true story of a former government agent turned vigilante who embarks on a dangerous mission to rescue hundreds of children from sex traffickers. So this is like not at all what you would consider a traditional Christian movie. Neither would Nefarious, I would say, I guess. This is like a good action thriller about, somebody, Tim Ballard, fighting human trafficking. It works well as like the kind of action thriller kind of movie. And it's a very uncomfortable. It's very unnerving. It's the kind of thing where, man, it can be very hard to watch sometimes. There's parts in this movie where he's undercover with the traffickers and stuff that is just, it's so uncomfortable, some of the things that he has to do and some of the things that the traffickers are doing and stuff, that it is so uncomfortable and disturbing, while never, I think, crossing a line to being distasteful for the movie itself. I think they kind of toe the line there. I think the question can be raised with this movie is that, like, do you actually consider this a Christian movie or not? I think there's different ways that you could look at it, and so I'm including it on this list, but I'll raise the question for the people that might say, no, this is not a Christian movie, because the guy, the lead guy in this movie, Tim Ballard, is not a Christian. He is Mormon, I think. which makes you think, oh, okay, so this is more of like a Mormon kind of movie, and because the Mormons believe some of the same things that Christians believe, maybe this is just where our faiths kind of intersect a little bit, where we're covering some of the similar kind of ground. But at the same time, I believe the director is a Christian, the lead actor, Jim Caviezel, is Catholic, and the theme of the movie is very Christian. I mean, the kind of the mantra of the movie is God's children are not for sale, and that's kind of the things that carries through the message ultimately that kind of carries through throughout the movie is that, hey, you know, you can't sell people. You could be trafficking humans, you can't be trafficking kids and all this kind of stuff. You know, this, you know, it's a message that is that I think, you know, people of a lot of different religions and stuff could agree with, but the idea that, you know, having a strong stance against that is a good Christian principle, and putting a little bit finer of a point on it, though maybe still vague enough to say God's children are not for sale, meaning that these people belong to God, not to you sex traffickers and stuff like that. So the question of, you know, whether it's a Christian movie or not, you know, I can, you know, let you decide what you think of that for yourself. I'm going to include it on this list because I think of it as a Christian movie because it's standing up for good Christian principles. It's standing up for is standing against things that we as Christians should be standing against, and it's doing it in the name of God. And, you know, multiple of the filmmakers behind it, like leading the charge making this movie, are Christians, which kind of, so, you know, it depends on how you categorize movies, I suppose. But all that said, I really like Sound of Freedom. This is a good, solid, thriller, disturbing kind of thriller movie. And again, this is the kind of, you don't get this kind of Christian movie. This is not at all traditionally Christian movie in that it's like an action thriller kind of movie. Like, you don't really get that out of Christian movies, unfortunately, because I would like to see more of those kind of movies, but you don't really get that kind of thing much out of Christian movies. Christian movies are all dramas and comedies and stuff. You don't get the action movies, you don't get the horror movies, and that's part of the reason why I like Nefarious so much and Sound of Freedom, as it's just another thing that I like about them is that it's breaking ground for, you know, what could be considered a Christian movie, I suppose. Good stuff. Let's talk about The Shift next.
This is not my world. I've never been to this lake before. Never walked its shores. But I will find my way back. And I will find my way back to my Molly. 5 years ago, I was left in this dark place. Taken from my wife. The people here have no hope.
You still looking for that wife of yours? You're clinging to scraps of rumors.
And then he arrived.
The Shift. After meeting a mysterious stranger, a man must escape this dystopian world that he was mysteriously teleported to in order to return to his wife. This is a Christian science fiction movie, which is like what I want to see the most of. Again, not at all your typical Christian movie. I really want to see more Christian science fiction movies, guys. Oh my goodness. But you may not have been able to tell from that little blurb there, but this is a retelling of the story of Job. So Job in the Bible, the man that loses it all but has to, retain his faith in God. And in the end, well, you know how that goes in the book of Job. I didn't end up reviewing this one on the show just because I am a little bit more mixed on this one than I was on some of the other ones here. I think there's some really great sci-fi kind of stuff in here. Teleporting, you know, to other like dimensions or other worlds or whatever. There's some really kind of fun and interesting things they do with that in here. The villain in here, the benefactor, is played by Neil McDonough. Probably mispronouncing that, but he played Damian Dark in the Arrowverse, in Arrow and Flash, and he played Dum-Dum Dugan in the Captain America movies. And so, okay, I like this guy. This guy is a Christian actor. I've learned that somewhat recently. And he's actually, I guess he's been in a couple Christian movies before, but he also is in a lot of like Hollywood type movies as well. This guy is great. I loved him in this movie. He definitely knows how to play a really compelling villain. And this villain, he's kind of a villain that's like a evil for the sake of evil kind of villain. He's kind of like has very little redeeming qualities, you know, but that said, like, this guy knows how to play that kind of character in such an interesting and compelling way. I loved it. He's the best part of this movie. I loved his performance as the benefactor. I do think the pacing is really weird in this movie. Like, there is, like, large chunks of time will go by in just a breeze, and it's just the beginning of the movie, the first, like, half of the movie almost, probably less than that maybe, but it's just that there's so many, like, time transitions and weird stuff like that that it all just didn't work for me. It just felt very rushed and haphazard to me. And in that is like the introduction to the villain, which it's just kind of it felt weird, even though I really liked the guy that played the villain and stuff. The introduction to him is just kind of weird. And our hero kind of accepted some of the absurdity of what was going on with him, the sci-fi elements in here, like really way too quickly, I think. And just some kind of weird stuff like that. It seemed like maybe editing stuff, or maybe, I don't know. I don't even know 100% like what all they would have done to fix some of these things. Some of these things is like, some of the time jumps and stuff is like, they're kind of necessary for the story that they wanted to tell, but at the same time, the way they did them, you know, it just felt weird and didn't quite work for me. So there's some weird stuff like that. So ultimately to me, it's a mixed bag. It seemed like the critics, not the mainstream critics, but like audiences seemed to like it more than I did ultimately. And it's worth checking out. It's just, to me, it didn't quite meet my expectations. It's not quite as good as I was hoping, ultimately. And especially with, you know, Angel Studios really kind of knocking it out of the park with His Only Son and with Sound of Freedom earlier in the year. So it's like now they're making that one. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And ultimately, it was decent. It was, I enjoyed it enough, but I was hoping for a little bit more with that one. But I mean, honestly, the fact that they're like willing to produce and release a Christian science fiction movie and like a sci-fi version of Job is just like so cool to me. And like, I hope it did well enough for them. It seemed like it did all right in theaters, but it didn't do big numbers like Sound of Freedom did. So it's like, okay, you know, I hope it did well enough for them that they made some money off of this and so that they like move forward with some other sci-fi Christian projects, because that is absolutely what I would like to see, man. I totally want to see more sci-fi Christian stuff. That's what I've wanted to see for my whole life. And we finally got one here anyway. So, all right. All right, now let's talk about The Blind.
Here are these rare stories. Well, how the impossible happened.
Miss Kay Caraway.
I feel.
Well,
promise to love
and be with you forever.
This is one of those stories.
You can do just about anything you set your mind to, Phil Robertson. But it's the drink. He becomes the devil, si. You know that ain't your brother.
The Blind. Long before Phil Robertson was a reality TV star, he fell in love and started a family, but his demons threatened to tear their lives apart. This is the true story that started a dynasty. A duck dynasty, to be specific. So I've not seen a lot of Duck Dynasty. I've seen a few random episodes. Seemed fun enough, but not really my kind of show, so it's not one that I watched. I'm aware that they were, you know, Christians, and ultimately the reason that they got booted off the air, when they were like the biggest they've ever been, and then they got booted off the air because they said some Christian values that the TV station didn't want to put up with, and so, boop, they were gone. And this movie was great, though. Like, it didn't matter that I didn't really know these people going into this. Just going into this basically fresh, just knowing that in the future these people have a TV show and stuff. It's like, this movie was great. And you look at the overarching story of it. This is basically, you know, this is how Phil Robertson became a Christian. This is his conversion story here. So it's like, you think, okay, you know, that's kind of a somewhat typical Christian kind of movie kind of story, right? It's him down in the dumps. It's him being, you know, living his sinful dark life and then being pulled out of that by the grace of God, you know. But man, okay, again, this is kind of like Jesus Revolution, but only even more intensified in this movie, for sure. This is a movie that would not have been made by, you know, Christians not that long ago, because, like, man, this is not a flattering picture of Phil Robertson at all. Like, this is like like, you watch this and you're like, man, hey, he was not a great guy back in the day. And honestly, that's what makes this movie so good. It is so brutally real, the darkness that he comes out of, from alcoholism to abuse to, you know, all kinds of things that he was involved in, and that we get glimpses of here. And again, done tastefully, not done in a way that's just like, okay, this is a bit much, isn't it? You know, done tastefully, done well, but we see the darkness and depravity that Phil Robertson was in here. So, and it gets really dark and really kind of him, like, stuck in his, you know, his ways. And then they do all that, so when ultimately he does come to know Jesus, when ultimately the conversion happens, it really pays off. A really effective conversion scene, a really effective scene of him going, oh my goodness, you know, this is, I need to change. And they push him so far to get to that point, you know, that by the time he actually converts, it's completely earned, not cheesy at all, and just so well done. Very powerful, very moving, man. They get you invested in these characters. It's heartfelt drama. It's kind of hard to watch at times, as you just kind of see, you know, his destructive tendencies ultimately just kind of destroying this family that he's building and stuff. And it's just, it's kind of thing where it's like, oh man, it's great to see the you know, grace of Christ in this movie, through this powerful story. And man, it's so well done. The Blind, absolutely fantastic. Doesn't matter if you've seen Duck Dynasty or not, this is just a fantastic drama. And you know, I said about Jesus Revolution, you know, it's like, it's the, you know, it might not be the kind of movie that I would rewatch, but if I were to rewatch just a drama type movie, this is one that I would be more likely to rewatch, probably just because of how kind of dark and moody, like the atmosphere and tone of the movie goes to some really kind of harsh and strong places that more fit the kind of movie that I usually like to watch. And so I would probably, you know, of a movies that are just kind of dramas, this is one that I would more likely go back to for a rewatch. All right, let's real quick talk about Camp Hideout.
Are you ready for the best week of your life?
How was everybody's first full day of camp?
This whole thing isn't really my scene.
I'm Becky, with a B.
I'm Noah, with a no.
Oh, okay.
Camp Hideout. After a troubled teen steals an important item from two big city goons, he hides in a church summer camp and must protect his newfound friends at all costs when the goons track him down. this movie, it has all of the cheesiness and subpar acting and low budget-iness that you would expect based on Christian films from the past. But it's helped along by the fact that this is a goofy kids movie that is not taking itself seriously at all. It's got some pretty good kind of slapstick comedy in here in the vein of like Home Alone. You know, this is Home Alone, but the kids are setting up the traps at a camp instead of at home when you're alone kind of thing. I was watching this with my nieces and nephews, and they were loving it. They were liking the all the pratfalls and all that kind of stuff. And honestly, I thought that was the best part of the movie too. Like they should have had more of that kind of humor of them in the movie earlier. Like that was kind of backloaded at the end of the movie mostly, but if they spread that out a little bit more, I think that probably would have been good. I'm not gonna claim this movie's great or anything, or even particularly good, but there is some genuinely funny stuff in here. There's some good kind of slapstick type humor, which I think we should bring back. I like slapstick humor. It's clean, positive Christian movie. It's the kind of thing where I if you're just, you know, an adult there that's looking for a Christian movie to watch, this is not the one I would recommend. But if you're looking for a movie that your kids are going to enjoy and that, you know, maybe you'll get a chuckle or two out of here too, then check out Hideaway Camp. There's also a couple Christian movies that I did not see that came out this year. Big George Foreman, I heard some good things about it. That's about George Foreman, who was a boxer, who then became, I think he became a preacher, and then he went back to boxing after a while. And so there was a movie about him, which I heard was good. Journey to Bethlehem, which I heard kind of some mixed things about. I heard it was mostly good, but then there's some elements in there that's like, you know, maybe not the greatest. But that's like a musical about Mary and Joseph and the nativity and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm not into musicals anyway, so I wasn't really interested in seeing that one in the first place because of that. I did watch After Death. That's a movie that's like, okay, is this, you know, I've heard that the creators behind it are Christian. It's the kind of thing where it's a documentary about about after death, near death experiences kind of thing. And it's interesting. It's the kind of thing where they don't really promote a Christian message in it necessarily. That's not like, in the end of the movie, they're like, and Jesus is the way for you to have a good after death, you know? But, honestly, if they're Christians behind it, I kind of think they should have somehow, or there was a section afterwards, like after the documentary, I think it was during the credits or something, where the director came out and talked a little bit. I thought now would be the perfect time for you to say, people are having these near-death experiences, it seems like, you know, maybe there's an afterlife and stuff, and this is what I believe about the afterlife and Jesus and all this kind of stuff. You know, this is like, I feel like there was opportunity for that they didn't have in there that maybe they could have. Either way, it's an interesting documentary. I found it really, I find that kind of stuff fascinating, you know, the near-death experiences, some of those experiences that you know, they're seeing heaven or they're seeing whatever, you know, they see their bodies as they're floating up above them or whatever. It's interesting stuff regardless, and so I enjoyed that one. And then there's some kind of like mainstream, not Christian movies that have some Christian themes in them, you know. I mean, for example, Fast X, I wouldn't describe as a Christian movie, but there was a large focus in this one, like more than any of the other Fast and Furious movies from what I remember. There's a large focus on Vin Diesel, him having the cross and him being like, you know, I gotta have faith, and he like holds his cross and stuff, and it's like, huh, interesting. You know, it's like they don't make it explicit as far as saying, you know, faith in Jesus or faith in God even necessarily, but they're just saying, yeah, you gotta have faith, and he's holding the cross. And so, I mean, just taking it at a face value, you could say, hey, okay, you know, having faith in Jesus is the one that died on the cross to save us from our sins, so, you know, all right. So, you know, interesting to see that like thematically in a major Hollywood movie, even though it's very light surface level kind of thing. Another one, Equalizer 3, had like very Catholic overtones to it. It had like a lot of kind of Christian and Catholic imagery in there for sure. There's a moment where Denzel Washington who plays the lead actor, who plays the lead character here, he, like, looks up on a mountain. He's, like, trying to decide, you know, should I do the right thing here, or should I just walk away, kind of thing. And then he looks up on the mountain where there's this cross on the mountain, and then, you know, he decides that he has to do the right thing, you know. And there's, like, good, solid themes in here. It's never, like, explicitly Christian or anything. It's never, I guess it's never, like, verbally Christian, you know, but it is there, and it's ultimately, it seems to be God who, you know, leads him to do the right thing in the movie, which is interesting, you know. And Denzel Washington is a Christian, too. So it's like, I wonder if that connection has to do with that, or if it's The Equalizer. I think is The Equalizer based on some books. Maybe there's some connection there. I don't know. Anyway, regardless, I found it an interesting connection in a mainstream movie. Let me throw a curveball at you here. Lady Ballers. So this one is a comedy about kind of an absurd early 2000s style comedy about men playing basketball in the women's league, and they're just saying, hey, we're women because we're transgender or whatever, and then they play basketball in the women's league. Pretty funny movie. I enjoyed the movie overall. It's the kind of movie where you watch it and you would go, you know, there's nothing Christian about that. They didn't, you know, they don't talk about Christianity, really. Maybe they mention God. I don't remember if they do or not. But that said, it's made by a Christian. It's directed and written by, directed and starring a Christian, because the main guy there is Christian, and it is promoting Christian values, you know, in the world we live in, where these lies are promoted, mass promoted and encouraged, you know, the lie of transgenderism. And the thing that this is tackling the most here with transgenderism is the putting men into women's sports and stuff. So the kind of the lie that men and women are exactly the same, the lie that men can become women and all that kind of stuff, you know, all these lies, and it tackles those lies and it says, yeah, those things are not true. That's not true. You know, men and women are different and they're complementary, and that's a wonderful thing. You know, women are better at these things, men are better at these things, and that's a wonderful thing. We shouldn't want it any other way, because the way that it is great. Which is true, you know, it, like, ultimately, you know, I look at the themes of that movie, and I'm like, yeah, this is great, this is really good, solid, thematic stuff in this movie, but it's wrapped up in a movie with, you know, some cursing in there, there's some crude humor in there, there's, you know, some stuff in there that you would look at, and you would go, oh, well, that's not a Christian movie, because it has some of these elements in there. So it's like, you know, am I gonna say, oh, that's one of my favorite Christian movies? I mean, it I guess it wouldn't be anyway, even if it was like 100% a Christian movie, I guess. But it is Christians promoting Christian values, ultimately, in a movie that's, you know, a little bit more crude or in a little bit more crass than what you would expect to find out of a Christian movie. So it's like, okay, you know, I don't know. What's your thoughts on that? Is it a Christian movie? Is it not? I don't know. Interesting to think about, regardless, I think. And some of you guys are just being like, nah, it's not. That's stupid. Then fair enough. Okay. I mean, ultimately this year with Christian movies, I feel like Christian movies and pagan movies have kind of switched places this year, you know? Like, Christian movies now, these ones that I'm talking about here, they're the movies that have good characters and good themes that are well, like, kind of integrated together. They're making good stories. They're well made while pushing this great message. And the pagan movies are the movies that are really pushing their religion. They're really, like, shoving the LGBT stuff, the feminism, the leftist stuff, just shoving it into the movie in ways that are obnoxious and annoying and preachy. And they're doing it to the detriment of their own story and their own characters, you know? That's what the pagan movies are doing now. That's what the Christian movies used to be doing. We would, like, shove the Christian message in there to the detriment of the story, or to the detriment of the characters, to the detriment of the quality of the overall movie. And now the Christian movies are getting a little more subtle. They're getting more well-made. And now they're, even though, you know, You still got that worldview in there, but you always have a worldview in a movie. There's no movie that does not have a worldview. So you always have a worldview in a movie. It's just what religion, what perspective, what worldview are you promoting, or what worldview is this movie coming from? It's always there. And so now just the pagans are the ones doing it really poorly now, and the Christians are starting to do it better and better. And it's like, whoa, this is crazy. We've kind of changed places. What in the world happened? That's good. This is a good thing, honestly. And so I think this year and these movies are like a great sign for the future of Christian cinema, you know, and then the future of things like Angel Studios, things like, you know, Daily Wire could be making some of these stuff, I could see for sure, you know. So it's like I think it's a good sign for the future of Christian movies is these kind of movies. They're coming out, they're well made, and they're doing well. People like them, people want more of that kind of stuff, and we're outdoing the pagans, you know. We're, you know, Sound of Freedom comes out and it does better than the new Indiana Jones movie, you know, which is pushing like feminist kind of agendas, right? Like, you know, you got the Indiana Jones, you got the new girl in there that's like, oh, you know, she's kind of better than Indiana Jones, you know, and they're kind of pushing some of their religious kind of message in there. Whereas you got Sound of Freedom pushing its religious message in there of, hey, whoa, we're God's children. We can't be selling each other and, you know, trafficking humans and all this kind of stuff. This stuff is evil. So they both have their religious agenda. And ultimately, even though Indiana Jones is infinitely more popular, it's doing worse because of the way that these movies are made. Because they're pushing their message, they're pushing their agenda, they're making their movies preachy, and, you know, movies that are supposed to be entertainment and entertaining, being preachy is obnoxious no matter the message, right? So it's like, you gotta make your movie so it doesn't feel preachy, but it also has the message, right? So you gotta have that balance there, and yeah, I guess, once again, we've switched places with the pagans, which is just kind of cool, you know? All glory goes to God. Awesome. So that's it. What's your favorite movie? Did I miss any? You can shoot me an email, helixreviewspodcast@gmail.com, and let me know. Until next time, but coming up here should be the end of the year episode, the beginning of the year episode, I guess, should be my favorite movies and stuff of 2023. That should be coming up pretty soon here. But until then, this is David of Helix Reviews signing out. Bye-bye, guys.